Falls puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
There's that wonderful Ashley Robertson tune that heralds the arrival of Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. He's our weekend morning show history columnist. He's here with another episode of Abandoned Manitoba. Welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
So last week, your hint was something to do with door-to-door salespeople?
Or more generally, with direct sales.
Oh, direct sales.
Where a company deals directly with the consumer as opposed to through an intermediary.
And so which company are you talking about?
I'm talking about J.R. Watkins Company. Or as it used to be known as J.R. Watkins Medical Company.
Okay. So it still exists.
Oh, indeed.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It's a company that goes back to 1868, in fact, so it's been around for a very long time.
And so what's the story you've got?
Well, there's all kinds of ways in which we interact with direct sales in our lives. In the old days, there were peddlers that traveled around the province selling things door to door. We had home deliveries of milk. Of course, many of us remember in our childhoods getting milk on the doorstep.
And frozen milk.
Yes, that's right.
Winter mornings.
And salesmen selling pots and pans, selling encyclopedia. People may remember the boys of St. John's School that would sell meat door to door, brushes, Girl Guide cookies, cosmetics.
Avon.
Precisely, a Tupperware. Of course, today we have telemarketers who phone at the most inopportune times. And of course, more and more, we have things like internet sales. Just recently, we, for example, had Cyber Monday when we were all encouraged to go out there with our credit cards and spend online. But a lot of it goes back to, say, the 1800s when companies like J.R. Watkins was predominant. So they operated here in Canada, although, say, their headquarters were in Winona, Minnesota. But they decided, since they were doing so well in the early 20th century, that they needed a base of operations in Canada. So they chose Winnipeg, I guess because it was sort of central in the country. It had a very good transportation hub. We had, of course, several railways converging in Winnipeg. And I think also the fact that it was just fairly close to the mothership in Winona. So they came here in 1913 intending to establish their local distribution hub that would then service the customers all over Canada.
So where's the abandoned part come in?
Well, they ended up building a building. They started with a smaller building that they thought would be sufficient. They very quickly discovered that it wasn't. And then in the end, they decided that they really needed to have their own building. So in 1914, then, they commissioned the construction of a building over in the Point Douglas part of Winnipeg here. It was an 8-story building. It was essentially intended to be a warehouse. It was going to be a factory because, I mean, they were going to actually make some of the products there. And it was sort of the distribution network that they would ship products all over the country from. And, well, of course, the abandonment part comes in because it is no longer used for that purpose. It isn't, by the way, empty. I should emphasize that. In fact, the fellow who gave me a nice tour of it not long ago wanted me to make sure I made clear that this building is not abandoned in the sense that it's empty. It is simply no longer used for the purpose for which it was originally designed, which is, say, one of the sort of the criteria for our series here.
And I think I know the building, but remind us where it is exactly.
It's just off Higgins. If you go down past the old CPR station,
yes,
just a little bit further, maybe another block, it's on the north side of Higgins.
Yep.
And it's a very large building,
it
and
is,
you can't
indeed.
Miss it. Eight stories tall, brick. What is really quite interesting about it is that a lot of buildings that would be built would have one attractive face, because the assumption was that there would be only one side anyone would ever see. And I think in this case, because they were aware that it was a fairly prominent building on all sides, they put design elements on all four sides. So it's actually an attractive building no matter what way you approach it. And that's interesting because, to say, it is a nice building, but I never quite knew what was inside, because I had never before been able to get inside. But luckily, recently, I had an opportunity to see its interior.
So what went on there?
Well, Watkins was a really diverse company. They sold products of a whole range of things, over 300 items when this company was first starting out here in Winnipeg. They sold veterinary products. They sold personal hygiene products, household cleaners, cosmetics, sauces, extracts, drink mixes, spices. But their signature product, the thing for which they were so well known, was their first product, in fact, was Watkins Liniment. And it was a mixture of ingredients. It had camphor, it had hot peppers in it, spruce oil, and the basic ingredient was alcohol. In fact, alcohol figured prominently in quite a few of its products. One of the ones I came across was a cough remedy, and it contained 11% alcohol. So, you know, even if it didn't cure your cough, it would certainly make you feel better. But what's interesting is, in addition to all that alcohol, the other two major ingredients, one was chloroform, which of course is an anesthetic, and the other one, interestingly, was heroin.
This is before much regulation on kind of thing. Right?
Oh, yeah. Patent medicines were at this time very common. They could put anything they wanted in these things. Or another one they had was a female remedy that was aimed at female complaints and diseases of women. Well, it was 20% alcohol and pretty much nothing else. So, you know, if you had some problems, 20% alcohol and you're feeling good.
So what became of J.R. Watkins at the Winnipeg location?
Well, they waned, as inevitably happens to companies over long periods of time. The company itself still exists, as you mentioned. It is operating out of its headquarters in Minnesota now. So if you purchase Watkins products today, they are shipped from the office in Minnesota. But the company here in Winnipeg eventually closed its doors in 1988. It, in fact, declared bankruptcy in the late 1970s. Fortunately, it was able to recover from that, and it continued business. But, you know, you can think, for example, about, and as you mentioned, a lot more competition from companies like Avon that would sell many of the same sorts of products. Of course, there was a change because many households, which had previously had someone living in the house 24 hours a day, you know, mom was probably home. Well, increasingly, women were into the workforce, and therefore, there might be no one home. So if you had door-to-door salespeople, there would be no one home to receive them. Consumers had a huge range of choices. You know, instead of having the Watkins liniment, you could go to the local drugstore and have, you know, 15 kinds of liniment. There was more a cosmopolitan, knowledgeable shoppers because of television. So as a result, a lot of the products that Watkins sold were just not, people weren't aware of them because there wasn't the same marketing engine pushing them. But I think fundamentally what caused the downturn was that a lot of its products were seen as sort of old-fashioned and stodgy. They were sort of your grandmother's products. They weren't the sort of things that you as an urbane, you know, consumer would purchase. So I think ultimately what they did is they regrouped, they went back to their origins, they realized that where their market was predominantly was in these old ingredients. Some of their main ingredients are still today things like the Watkins liniment.
So no more alcohol, chloroform, heroin compounds, though. What is in that building now? Do you know?
I had an opportunity to tour it. After it was left by the Watkins company, it was purchased by a clothing manufacturer. And I think they still own it today, although they do sublet parts of it for storage for various types of companies. Some of it isn't used as well as it could be, I suppose. It's not full, to be sure. It's a very solid building. In fact, one of the things that really impressed me is how well built it is. It'll stand for at least another century because it's just so well built. But we saw, for example, the remains of the laboratory. They had a laboratory they could do product testing in. They had a pill drying room where they could actually dry the pills of the various products they were selling. We saw a few discarded machines for milling, for grinding, for packaging. And even the switches, you know, even if there was nothing visible in a particular room, they had switches for machines that were long gone for things like a pine oil mixing motor or a cream kettle motor. You know, things that were very evocative of what they at one time used to sell from this building. And then on the back of the building, because one of the big keys was that it had to have distribution, it used to front right onto the CPR main line. And so they had a big loading dock. Well, that now is all boarded up. You can't get out onto the main line from the building. And it's been liberally festooned with graffiti. And there are people sort of hanging around there, you know, doing all kinds of things.
Mm. Well, listen, next week is my last weekend on the Weekend Morning Show and my last weekend with CBC. What are we going to do next weekend?
Well, Terry, I suspect a lot of your other listeners, we despair what we're going to do without you. And I think, therefore, I'm going to sort of try to wrap things up a little bit. I do want to talk about another site. In fact, I want to talk about a place in southwestern Manitoba that's connected with the manufacturing of paper. And give a sort of a wrap-up of a few of the places, at least, that we visited in this series and what has happened to them.
Okay, I look forward to it. So, see you next weekend.
Indeed. Thanks very much, Terry.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.